would join me, let us read the Word of God. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And may God add his blessing to not only the reading of God's word, but to the hearing, to what God would want us to understand. Today I'm going to start a new series of messages. I've got four messages that I want to share with us over the next several weeks that have to do with becoming like Jesus. I think what we want to do as a people of God, as a church, is to be more like Jesus. If we can do that, if we can become to be more like Jesus, then I think that is what God would call us to do and to be. Now, I'm calling this series the Jesus Model. In other words, to be more like Jesus, what would that look like? What would we have to do? What would we have to be? And so the Jesus model here in part one is helping others like Jesus. And God wants us to learn how to follow him. Do you know how to do that? Important question to ask us this morning. As we come to worship, are we following Jesus? Or are we just kind of going through the motions? We got up this morning, we do what we normally do. We may have had a chance to eat breakfast, we got dressed, we come to church, we're going to, after worship, we'll do our thing again. In other words, are we following Jesus? Because see, I think if we are to follow Jesus, we will find that we will need to serve. We will need to be a servant. We will need to serve Jesus and to serve others according to the way he modeled that. That's called ministry. You understand, we here at this church have a ministry. And our ministry is how we serve one another. Jesus didn't tell us what to do only. See, Jesus came, and when we come together and we read our Bibles and we have our devotions and we do our Bible studies and we come to worship, we know that Jesus tells us what we're to do. However, Jesus didn't just tell us what to do. He gave us a model. He said, "I want you to do what I have done." In other words, when we look at Jesus and see what he did, that is a model of what we should do. But not only that, Jesus said, "I'm not going to let you just hear what I tell you to do. I'm not just going to let you see what I do in the scripture as a model." He said, "I'm going to send you a personal coach in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is going to come inside of you, and that Spirit will guide you." So Jesus said, "I'm telling you what to do, I'm modeling what to do, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit so that you will be guided." And when Jesus began his ministry, that scripture that we just read out of Luke chapter 4, what we just read, Jesus, when he started his ministry, you know, he came to John the Baptist, he was baptized down in the Jordan River, and he was taken up, and the scripture says that the Spirit led him to the wilderness, and he was tempted by Satan. And while he was there, Satan was saying, "Look, You want this world, that's why you came. I will, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you the whole world. And Jesus said, well, you don't just live by bread alone and by the things that you are able to accumulate. You live by every word of God. So Jesus used the scripture to defeat Satan. And brothers and sisters, that's a model for you and I. If you are having problems and if you are trying to deal with what should you do when you have temptations or evil or trying to find your way, then go to the scripture. If you're not reading your Bible every day, if you're not following God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to help to teach us. That is where we need to be in order to know how we're to defeat evil and how we're to live. And so if you see the evil in the world and all the bad and tragic things happening, you would understand people are not following what Jesus is doing and not following the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but they're being led by other evil things. But when Jesus came after he was tempted of the devil, when we read the scripture, it said after these things, then Jesus was anointed with the Spirit. And so after these things, after all that had happened, the baptism and his temptation, and now he said he came to his hometown in Nazareth, and they gave him the scroll from Isaiah. And this, what we read, is what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the prisoner, to recover the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus said in the scripture that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to do five things. He's going to come to five groups of people. And what I want to do this morning, as we start this series on the Jesus model, is I want us to look at who Jesus came to help. And how he came to help them. He came to five different groups of people. And one of the things I want to find out is, did Jesus come to help you? Or do you fit in any of these five categories of the people that Jesus came to help? And so, because you will see everything Jesus did here on earth, Jesus said, I want you to do it too. He said, if I came to help these five groups of people, I want you to help these type of people as well. I want you to do it for people that you're going to find hurting in this world. I want you to help them. I want you to help them in their hurting. So let's look at the Jesus model of his ministry, Christ-like ministry. Let's look at who Jesus came to help. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do. See if you find that what Jesus came to help, if that fits you or one of those categories. The people are several of them. Here's the first one. Jesus said, I came for the poor. Jesus said, I came to preach good news to the poor. Now, who are the poor people? The poor are people who don't have what they need. I call these people the have-nots. People who need more energy, people who need more time, people who need more help, people who need more money, people who need more connections and relationships to one another. These are the have-nots. They don't have what they need. There are times in your life that you're going to be lacking something. Jesus said, I came to help those who are lacking. These are the poor people. Now, there are actually three kinds of poverty. Often when I say, well, Jesus came to the poor, you might think, well, he came to people who don't have enough money. But that's not what I'm talking about. Material poverty is one of the things that Jesus came for. Material poverty is when you're out of money, when you don't have enough. Of course, that's a major problem in our world today. Do you know half of the world is very, very, very poor? You may not realize this, but of the 7.5 billion people in the world today, over half of the world, nearly 4 billion people on this earth, live on less than $2 a day. The poorest of the poor in America are filthy rich compared to the poverty of the rest of the world. But we don't think of it that way. We think of how awful our lives are, even when we are blessed in ways that we don't even understand. The world is mainly poor materially. And we sometimes in this America put ourselves in that category, but that is a misjustice. But there's other kind of poverty. It's not just material poverty. Second, there is a moral poverty. Moral poverty is when you lack integrity, a lack of knowledge of what is right and wrong. Do we find that true in our nation, in America, that we find people seem to talk and to do things and to act in ways that they don't seem to know what is right and wrong? It's when you've lost a moral consciousness. In other words, you don't have any desire to do what's good. You don't have any desire to do the right thing. That's when you're in moral poverty. You just want to do what's easy for you. You just want to do what's best for you, selfishly. In other words, when you want to do what you want to do, irregardless of how it affects others, irregardless of what it means to others, then you're in moral poverty. There are many people who have moral poverty. They have no morals at all. You see that as people talk and act in our world today. They don't care to do what's right. Moral poverty. Here's the third kind of poverty, and that's spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty is when you don't know God's plan for your life. While half the world is materially poor, how much more do we find in our world is people who are spiritually poor? They don't know the good news. They don't know God. They don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't know that God made them for a purpose, and they're not living out that purpose. They don't know that through Christ, they can have their sins forgiven, their past forgiven. They can have a purpose for living. They can have a home in heaven. Most people don't know that they're infinitely loved by God. That's spiritual poverty. Jesus said, I came for such people. I came for the poor. Is this why Jesus came for you? Could it be that he sees something lacking in your life and my life, that we are materially or morally or spiritually poor, and he came for us? Here's the second group Jesus said he came for, and that's the brokenhearted. He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. I call the brokenhearted the people who are let down. We've all been let down in life. If you've lived very long, we've all had broken hearts. What causes broken hearts? A lot of different things, but let me just give you a couple things. First is disappointment. When things don't turn out the way we plan, when things don't turn out the way we dream, when things are not going in life the way we want it to go, we have broken hearts. We're disappointed. And trust me, brothers and sisters, you are going to have many disappointments in life because you do not orchestrate what life is to be for you. That's not within your power. So the first kind of broken heart we have is disappointment, when things don't turn out the way we planned. Second, you can be brokenhearted by being rejected. That's the one, I guess, that we see most in songs and in the movies and on TV. We see that when a person is rejected, when a person is finds that they feel rejected by someone who they love or who they thought loved them, or it just breaks their whole being. And that's what all the songs, you hear so many songs about the brokenhearted. You see so many movies about people who feel rejected. It breaks people's heart. Many people have broken heart. Here's a third one, and that's resentment. Resentment breaks people's heart. When you hold on to something the way a person has treated you, or the way a person has hurt you, it's like a disease eating at you. It eats you from the inside out. It's a poison. Jesus said, I came for people who are brokenhearted. Could it be? Is this why Jesus came for you? Because you have a broken heart in some way, in some situation about life? Here's a third group that Jesus came for, the imprisoned. He said, I came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. I call this group of people the locked up. The locked up are the people who are shut out of life. They are imprisoned in some way. Did you know that in America, that 2.5 million Americans are behind bars today in prison? Probably so many more on probation that they don't even have room to put in prison, but have restrictions. And there are more than 9 million prisoners around the world. Prison, incarcerated, locked up in jail, and barbed-wired, fenced-in areas. But there are other kind of prisons that Jesus is talking about. The Bible tells us the kind of prisons that we put ourselves into. One of those prisons we put ourselves into is addiction. A lot of people are trapped by substance abuses of all kind and by circumstantial abuses. There are all kinds of addictions, things that you would like to change, but you can't. Addiction is when you want something different in your life, but you do not have the power to change it yourself. Another thing that imprisons us is ignorance. It's a lack of education. When a person doesn't have access to the education that they need, it puts them in a prison. Now, we don't realize this because we live in America. Because we live in one of the most educated areas in the world, we don't see anyone that could not have an education if they wanted to. So it's hard for us to understand how education could, lack of it, could be a prison. Half of the world cannot read or write. So lack of education imprisons us. But the number one thing that imprisons us today is fear. Our fears of others, what they might do to us. Our fears to be out into public places. Our fears of events in the world. It puts us in prison. It keeps us from becoming all that God wants us to do, because instead of focusing on sharing with others and what God wants us to do, that fear keeps us away from people and away from interacting. Could it be, is this why Jesus came for you? Is it possible he came because you are imprisoned somehow in something that holds you and you have no control over? Here's the fourth kind of people Jesus came for, is that he came for the blind. He said, I came to recover the sight of the blind. I call these people the shut out. In other words, when you're blind, you're shut out of life. Now, you're running into things that you don't see. You're running into obstacles. You're running into problems that you can't see. Right now in the world, if we look at physical blindness, there are over 50 million people in the world who are physically blind. But there are so many other types of blindness, and the kind of blindness Jesus is talking is not just restricted to physical blindness. That is the first one, but there are more than that. There's spiritual blindness, and it's the worst kind of all. Spiritual blindness is when you close your eyes to the goodness of God in our lives. When we attribute things that we're living, you know, we are always talking about how hard life is and then the hard knocks that we have in life. And a lot of times, when things are going good, we kind of pat ourselves on the back and we say that, you know, we're a pretty good person and we're pretty smart and we've done some good things. And so we talk about the good things as if it's something that we have provided, and yet we call the bad things that happen in life, we attribute that to God. God's not taking care of us. God's not helping us. God's not giving us what we need. That's called spiritual blindness. When you don't realize you're the one that's messed up. When you're not willing to admit how much you need a Savior, how much you need God in your life, and how much God is in your life to give you what you have now. When you don't open your heart to Christ, that's spiritual blindness. God says, I care about you. I want you to come out of that blindness. I came to open your eyes. I came to give you a new vision. I came to give you a new insight into life. Could it be that's why Jesus came for you? Because there's blindness in your life? But you don't see where God has his real place in your life? Well, here's the fifth group Jesus said he came to help. And that is the oppressed. He said, I came to release the oppressed. Now, the oppressed are people that I call the kicked around. The oppressed are the people in life who are kicked around in life by circumstances. They're put down. They're played upon. They're taken advantage of. There's all kind of oppression in the world today, and Jesus cares about, and he wants to stop that kind of oppression. Let me give you three kinds that we can mention here this morning. There's many others. First is political oppression. Now, not necessarily here in America. See, a lot of times we don't understand how blessed we are. But in America, because of our freedom, I can't say that we necessarily have political oppression. But around the world, in most of the countries, where there is enormous political oppression, there are over 65 million people in the world who have been displaced from their homes, driven out because they oppose the government or they speak against the government or whatever. In other words, they've been displaced. 65 million people living as refugees, seeking a place of haven, seeking a place that they can come and just find some safety. I think it's one of the most difficult things as American people, with the many blessings we have been blessed by God so much, and that yet we will not want to give to those who desperately need to overcome the oppression they're in and give them a safe haven. And why don't we want to do that? You know why? Because it will take away from us. They will be wanting to have what we have. And we don't want to share that with them. It will take our economy. It'll take our jobs. It'll take all kinds of things that we fear. In other words, we will not follow the teachings of Jesus and to want to release the oppressed and to give help because of our self-centeredness. I think it's so sad. Did you know that right now in the world there are over 30 million people living as slaves. Now you say, now wait a minute. I thought slavery was abolished a long time ago. Well, in this country, a certain kind of slavery was. But that is not true in the world. Not true at all. 30 million people living and slavery. The second kind of oppression is cultural oppression. Domestic violence, terrorism, rape, sexual violence. It's increasing in almost every nation in the world globally. In fact, it is one of the major causes of suicide among women. Domestic violence. Being oppressed and treated so violently and so bad. Each year, 2 million young girls are sold into sexual commercial sex markets. That's sex slaves. Slaves. Sold into prostitution. And sometimes when you hear that and see that, now do you think God cares about that? Absolutely He does. He says, I came for the oppressed. And I came to be a model that you might want to care about others in that situation and care for them too. We have the politically oppressed, the culturally oppressed, and there's one other. And that is the spiritually, or the spiritual oppression. When you get depressed, and we all do from time to time, when we get depressed, when you feel pressured, life seems to be weighing down on you. When you feel stressed out, when you're at the end of your rope and you're ready to throw in the towel and you want to give it up, that's called spiritual oppression. God wants us to live with joy even in the midst of our struggle. God wants us to live with hope even in the midst of the storm. God wants us to see that He is there with us even when everything else seems to be falling apart. Satan wants you to believe that God doesn't care. And that's why all of these bad things are happening. Because God's nowhere around. Jesus said that spiritually oppressed are the people I came for. Could it be? Is this why Jesus came for you? Because you feel oppressed? Jesus said when He started His ministry, He said, I came to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to recover the sight of the blind, and to release the oppressed. Jesus is the answer to every one of the problems you face today. Jesus is the answer for every one of the problems that people face in the world today. He is our model. Let us become like Him every day. Share this good news with everyone. What is the good news? That God loves you, that He made you, He created you, and He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. That's the good news. And He just didn't leave you alone. He sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you if you would open your heart and your life to Him. That Jesus came to forgive your sin, to forgive your past, to set you right before God. And He came to give you a gift. Not only life now and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, but eternal life in heaven. That's the good news. God says, I want you to have it. I want you to have it now. I want you to have it today. I want you to go from this place rejoicing because that gift is for you. That's the good news. And I want you to share it. You have no control over your past, when you were born, who you were born to, where you were born, how you were born, how you came up in your life. You have no control over that. But you do have a choice over your future. You do have a choice because God has come to preach the good news to you and to give you a transformed life, a new leaf in life, a new start in life, a whole new life. That's the good news. Will you receive that today? Did Jesus come because you need to hear the good news and he wants you to receive it? Do that. Receive the good news. And then share it with us. Pray with me. God, as we bow our heads, I'm just asking that everyone here this morning will pray this prayer with me in their heart. We're going to pray, Father, that Jesus Christ, thank you for sharing the good news to us this morning again. Lord, we need to replace our spiritual poverty with your spiritual blessings. We need to have you to heal our brokenness where we've sinned and failed so much. And that, God, that you will heal our broken heart. God, we need you to give us freedom from the things that tie us down and trap us. We need you to give us insight when we're blind and we don't see the truth. Let us see the truth this morning. And we need you to release us, Father, and help us recover from the things when we feel put down and kicked around. Lord, each one of us are praying for peace. And we want to be instruments of peace in the world today. But first, we must start with you, Father. We need to receive you into our heart and life. Help us to follow your model of love and to share your love with one another. So, God, I just pray that everyone here this morning has said, Jesus, you are the good news. Come into my heart. I want to have you again this morning as I give my life to you fully. Thank you, Lord God. We pray this now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, the good news is in Jesus Christ. The good news is a choice that you have. Receive the good news. Let Jesus be your Lord and Savior. Let's stand together as we sing the same love, and as we sing, dedicate ourselves anew to that love in Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling us to the cross. Jesus is the good news. You have heard the good news. I pray that you have the good news in your heart and life. He wants to live there and be the good news for you, with you, and wants you to share that good news with others. Brothers and sisters, take the good news and live it to the fullest. And may God bless you. Amen.